This is the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Discover how to enhance your reputation as an attorney and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.
Okay, this is Richard Jacobs. I'm here with Jimo Obiagwe. He's the co-founder and CTO of Ross Intelligence, a company that's working in the legal field and using artificial intelligence to make the legal field evolve into its next iteration, whatever that is. So welcome, Jimo. How are you doing?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm doing great.
Oh, good. Yeah, this is a really, really great opportunity to speak to you. So what is Ross Intelligence doing in the legal field? What's its latest project that's going to be influential, you think?
Well, Ross Intelligence develops and sells Ross, an artificially intelligent lawyer that can answer complex legal questions. So we have some of the top law firms in the world as our customers, like Denton, the world's largest law firm by headcount, and Latham & Watkins, the world's largest firm by revenue. So we help them work more efficiently and effectively.
So, you know, what's an example of a recent project? Are you looking to replace attorneys on their team or advise them, or how does the AI work?
Yeah, so typically an associate spends about 30% of their time researching, and this is not the best use of their talent. The way research traditionally goes, a client comes to a lawyer, has a legal issue. The lawyer has to research what the courts have said about that said legal issue. So they open up a keyword database to find potentially relevant legal cases. Then they spend hours reading through hundreds of pages of cases just to find the passages that answer the legal questions. So Ross does that for them, so they could focus on more value add activities. So Ross isn't a replacement for associates. It's really an augmentation or a power up for human lawyers that already exist.
The artificial intelligence, what will it do? It'll read through, will it be instructed by the attorney to read through a whole corpus of cases that are related and look for keywords, or how does it work?
So lawyers ask Ross their question in natural language, as they would ask a colleague who has experience on that matter, and Ross will read through and find precise answers from that corpus of case law. And in order to do this, we developed our own legal AI framework called Legal Cognition. And the way Legal Cognition works, it analyzes the relationships between and the meaning of words in order to read through and understand millions of laws. So that's, at a high level, the magic behind Ross.
Wow. What areas of law is the Ross AI tuned to work on? Anything or only certain kinds?
So we started off with bankruptcy. The reason being is that in a bankruptcy, there's many cost and time constraints as would make sense, because a company is going bankrupt and people are trying to get as much money as they can back. So the way we thought about it is that if we could help bankruptcy lawyers, we could help any lawyer. So we started about a year ago on that project, and it was successful. Now we are moving into other areas of the law, like intellectual property, employment and labor, insurance, because our technology, we didn't teach it what the laws were. We taught it how to read the law. It could be scaled to other domains.
When you say it worked in bankruptcy and it was successful, what does that mean? Did it actually do, did it, let's see, did it suggest motions to bring in a case? Did it suggest anything, or did it simply point out, hey, when dealing with this type of asset in bankruptcy, look here?
When our customers, when our users work with Ross on their bankruptcy cases, and they have a research question, for example, like student loan debt be discharged in the event of a bankruptcy in New York City, Ross will bring back the exact passages where a judge or lawyer in a case specifically addresses that question. So this is fundamentally different than what they would have to do, where traditional legal research tools just bring back cases that contain the keywords, and then you have to read through them in order to find those passages. But oftentimes, most of the cases that you read through are completely irrelevant to you, and you have to dispose of them.
Right. So when Ross brings back search results, are there times where it's bringing back way too much results, or have you been able to tune it where it's bringing back enough that it's useful? What are some examples of what it's brought back, if you can speak to them?
Yeah, so I don't remember any of the search results off the top of my head. But in a matter of minutes, Ross is able to place lawyers dead center on the issue. The way Ross works now, it brings back the 10 most relevant passages from the law. And most of the time in those 10 passages, you're going to have what you need to place you dead center in the issue in service of basis of your exploration and your research.
Okay. And how do you get all the law into Ross to process? I mean, there's so many states. There's, you know, even within one area of law, the laws, you know, oftentimes will be different by state, and the case law around it, and, you know, reasoned decisions. How did you gather all this data to train it?
That's a really great question. We formed a partnership with a legal publisher that we'll be announcing shortly provides us a pipeline to that data. That way, we could focus on artificial intelligence rather than data collection, which is data collection is very hard and it's essential. But we're focused on artificial intelligence. Kind of how we like to think about it is it's kind of like the petroleum industry. There are companies that focus on the exploration and mining for oil, and then there's companies who refine petroleum and turn them into products like rubber and fuels and other petroleum-based products.
Right, gotcha. Are you able to give any estimation on the amount of data that is needed in order for your system to work properly?
So it could work on a corpus of any size, but what I really think you're getting at is the machine learning piece, because Ross learns how to answer questions by looking at training data. Or a training data set of questions and answers, which it tries to find patterns in and applies to new questions that comes in. Ross has been trained on tens and thousands of questions. So it has a lot of experience under its belt.
Right. Are you going to be moving on to other areas of law, let's say, you know, criminal defense, and beyond just research? Do you think that the AI may actually turn into a an attorney itself, or litigation support? Or let me give you an example. Let's say in a criminal case, do you think Ross at some point will be able to look at the fact pattern of the case and all the law before it and make recommendations? Oh, you know, file a motion to do this, and you have a high likelihood of success, or don't do that, or you should plea in this case because, you know, it's a 90% likelihood that it'll go best to you that way?
Absolutely. That is our vision, and that's what we're working towards. We don't ever see there Ross interacting or working without a human with clients. Humans will always be at the center of our system. Ross will always be that support team for that lawyer, and we think that's really important, because if you look at the legal industry right now, 80% of people in the United States that need legal help can't afford it. And this is an unacceptable number, and we're going to bring this number down. The Constitution says liberty and justice for all, not liberty and justice for some. So this is what drives us at Ross. So we want to help the lawyers that we have now help more people.
Makes sense, yeah. What's your background? How did Ross come to be, and how did you get into this?
Yeah, so I've been interested in AI for a while. I was 18 when Watson beat the world champions at Jeopardy, and I think for my generation, it was like watching NASA send a man to space, watching Neil Armstrong land on the moon. So that really inspired me. After that, I read every single research paper that came out of that project, and I continued to study artificial intelligence in university. And when I was there, I started to think more about how AI was going to change the world. Then I remembered back to the struggle that my single mother endured under crippling legal bills when she and my father split up. And I wanted to bring the power of AI to the legal industry. So that's how the idea for Ross came about. So I joined up with a fellow computer science classmate while studying at the University of Toronto called Parvis Daulio, and a rising lawyer in Toronto, Andrew Ruda, to found Ross Intelligence to bring Ross to life.
Very good, very good. Back to, I guess, you know, how Ross works. Is it using, I guess it's using what's called natural language processing to understand the law itself?
Yes. So natural language processing techniques, it's a field in computer science to try to understand and break down language.
And any hiccups along the way in the development of it? Things that stuck out to you as, you know, curiosities or surprises as you've been creating the software?
Language is an incredibly hard thing. I think what I've realized over the course of developing Ross is how absolutely amazing the human mind is while trying to recreate it in a way. We do things without even thinking about that we take for granted. The simple things like in a conversation, being able to know based on the context who someone's talking about when they say they or him or who. Those are hard things that it comes so easy to us, which is pretty incredible.
Okay. What do you see in the next year or so that Ross is going to work on? What kind of cases, what areas of law, what's the expansion plan?
So now that we have our foundation down, we are going to be marching steady forward, expanding to other areas of the law, so broadening the Ross's scope. We're going to be deepening Ross's intelligence by the AI space is developing very, very quickly. A lot of great research coming out of universities, and we're going to apply that to make Ross smarter. But also legal research is just the beginning for Ross. Our legal cognition framework is something that we will be applying to other activities in a law firm, like knowledge management, like helping law firms leverage the work that they've already done and stored inside of their firm, helping with due diligence, contract review, and other things. So that is the direction that we're going, and that we're really excited about here.
What do you think will be the toughest hurdles going forward? Are there any areas of the law or things that an attorney does that you just think Ross is not going to be able to help with or emulate or take over for?
Right off the bat, the thing that comes to my mind is, right now we are teaching Ross how to write memos or and legal briefs. But the one thing that it's hard to teach a machine is writing persuasively, because that takes understanding a lot of context and understanding your audience, understanding humans. So I think even though Ross is helping with research, and will help more and more with research, I think that lawyers will always be ahead of AIs in that aspect, so that's one of many things. But that's the first thing that comes to my mind, because it's something that I was working on here with the team most recently.
Do you think eventually in the courtroom, an AI would be a third party? You know, let's say you have the judge, you have, counsel, the attorneys on both sides. What if you had a third entity or a fourth one, an AI that, when anytime an issue came up in the courtroom, it could immediately quote all the applicable law and say, based on what's being said, this is actually what's out there. So people wouldn't have to leave and do research and come back, leave and come back. It would actually be in the courtroom. Do you ever see that happening?
Absolutely. And I think that's going to be coming soon. I wouldn't put it as it will be a third party. AI will be something that would be on every party. The judge will be equipped with AI, and then all the lawyers will be equipped with AI, so that we could get that real-time information in the courtroom. And we already know that courts are overloaded. So we can make our court systems more efficient that way, and also fair. I think once that happens, that is going to become a standard. There's going to be no going back from that.
That's fascinating. Okay. Have you spoken with many lawyers about this? Is there resistance or fear of what your system can do, or is it being welcomed so far?
It's being welcomed, but we have met people who are afraid of it. But I think that just comes from misunderstanding. I think it's kind of like when there's a new guy on your team, and you're trying to figure out where that person's going to fit on your team. You're trying to figure out whether that person's going to compete with you, because you don't really know your strengths and weaknesses relative to them. What we try to educate lawyers about is the strength of AI and also the strength of humans. And when they see that, their fears disappear. And then what we say on a macro level is that, back to what I said, there is a group of 80% of Americans who don't have access to affordable legal services. Meanwhile, demand for legal services in the existing markets is going down. So law firms are looking for new markets to expand their business in. So having the support of AI will help law firms expand into this massive untapped market, and which is worth billions of dollars. Not only is it the economical thing to do, it's the right thing to do. What we like to say often is that AI isn't the end of the law, like people are saying. It's the beginning of it.
You said the need for attorneys has been going down. Do you mean, what do you see is happening that's causing the need for attorneys to go down? Meanwhile, that, you know, so many people are unrepresented.
So there's a lot of different forces in the legal market today. There's more competitors out there. There's more law firms. There are non-law firms like consulting firms who provide some form of legal services. Companies are building legal teams in-house. Generally, clients are smarter and they're more cost sensitive. One thing that's really interesting is that clients increasingly refuse to pay for the time of an associate, especially time that's spent on research. Whereas once doing research was a source of revenue for a law firm, now it's operational cost. There's a lot of different pressures going on in the legal industry right now that's causing them to rethink how they do business.
Okay. And historically in the legal profession, you know, all the legal work itself obviously was handled by an attorney. And there's licensing requirements that, you know, someone that's not an attorney can't, quote-unquote, practice law. But I guess your intelligence system would be okay, because it wouldn't be practicing. It would just be providing research. The attorney still has to do the work, the legal representation itself.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, very good, very good. Yeah, last question. What do you see as happening? You know, I know you partially answered it, but in the next 2-3 years, because things move so fast, where do you see Ross going?
Like I said, I think that although our system is very capable today, and other AI systems that we are seeing right now, we are still in the very nascent stages. But there's so much potential ahead of us. So I see Ross becoming more capable, being able to help lawyers more. And I see that partnership and that trust between machines and lawyers growing, where it becomes commonplace, where now we have a great group of early adopters who are innovators in the space. I think in the next 3 years, AI in the legal industry will be mainstream.
Wow. That's a big change. Okay. All right, so for attorneys that want to get in touch with Ross and maybe try out their system, use it for their legal research, what are some ways to get in touch with your firm and you?
Yeah, so you could visit our website at www.rossintelligence.com, and if you'd like to speak to me, my email is gmo, J-I-M-O-H, at rossintelligence.com, and you could also follow us on Twitter. Our handle is rossintel, and my personal Twitter is findinggmo. It's a playoff of Finding Nemo.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, very good. I appreciate your time today. It's very fascinating, very unusual. It's going to be interesting what's going to happen in the next few years. So thanks for your time.
Thank you, Richard.
You've been listening to the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Call 888-225-8594 or email rj@speakeasymarketinginc.com to enhance your reputation and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.